This podcast is proudly sponsored by the BBPA, the Black Business Professionals Association. If I ruled the world. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 12 of the Queen Series podcast presented by Bellin & Queens Organics. I am your host, Elena Christine, and I am here with...
Hi, I'm Shakura Clark.
Shakura.
You remember me?
Yeah.
Back again.
You were on a couple episodes back.
Yeah.
And you talked about your experience, and it was about persistence and overcoming failure.
Yes. Yeah.
And I know a lot have changed since then.
Oh, gosh, you guys, you don't even know. My life is a beautiful mess.
Yeah. Well, a lot of our lives are beautiful messes.
Fair, yeah.
So talk a little bit about where have you... Well, let's remind everyone a little bit about your story previously, and then let's talk a little bit about where you are now.
Right. So the last time I was on the podcast, I was speaking about the podcast I had that was called It's a Sisterhood.
Right.
And I was talking about my experience with that in having it come to a stop, even though I wanted to continue it and pursuing kind of your business goals or your entrepreneurship goals, even when your business kind of has a breakdown. So that's what I was experiencing. And it was just speaking about staying curious and staying passionate and staying awake to purpose, even though it seems like you're at a crossroads or something's dying down. And it's crazy because on the last podcast as well, I was speaking about how I always, I had a full-time job. I always wanted a full-time job. I really, like most people, don't like corporate America, but I actually don't mind it. I'm not a person that plays into politics. And so I feel quite comfortable in that space. And it's just crazy because since then, right, I just decided to take a different path with my life. So I actually quit my full-time job. I quit my full-time job. I don't on paper have a plan, but yeah, that's where I'm at.
So that's where I'm at. Let's talk about what led you, like what are some of the things that led up to the moment where you quit your job?
I feel like I've been going through a lot emotionally, spiritually. I've been growing and developing as a person, and the more, and it was happening in the span of a few short weeks. So I feel like as I was developing who I was and recognizing parts of myself that I don't want to say, I feel like I already knew these parts of myself that were there, but I wasn't growing them. Mm. I wasn't watering them. And I was rediscovering parts of myself that have kind of laid dormant. And once I started to really reconnect with who I am on a spiritual and emotional level, I just realized that the job I was at was not growing me in places that I wanted to grow. And I wasn't as invested as I was. And the crazy part was that once I had that realization, I didn't mentally check out of my job because I don't believe in that. I believe you have to operate with integrity. You have to operate like the person you want to be always, even though you don't feel like you're at the right place that you want to be. And it was just crazy because in spite of that, knowing that for myself, I was still having a lot of slip-ups that weren't even okay with me. It's like nothing drastic or anything, but just parts of my job were kind of I was letting slack because my heart wasn't in it, and I wasn't doing it on purpose.
These are
all things that it would happen, and I'd be like, why is this even happening? And my boss would be like, why is this happening? And we'd both be like, what's going on here? Because people also know I'm a person of integrity. They know they can rely on me. So I just, once that, I was showing signs of kind of like fading away in that sense as well. I was like, hey, I need to take control of my life. And clearly this is not where I'm meant to be right now.
Yeah. So you talked in the last episode about just knowing that time to step away. And that time you were like, it was a right time for me to say no or reevaluate this situation and see if you needed to take a step back, which ultimately led to your decision.
Right.
So did you go through a similar process here when you were just like, it's time for me to step away and I don't have a plan, but I know that this ain't it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's crazy because on the last podcast we were talking as well as getting in quiet spaces.
Yes.
So really reflecting on yourself and reflecting on your purpose and where you want to be and who you are. And it's in the quiet places that you find your answers of where you need to be.
That's almost verbatim what you said. Yeah. You're really good.
And so it was crazy. I was reflecting and I was like, it just feels like this is not where I need to be. Like, wow. It just feels like this is not where I need to be right now. And I just felt like I needed space and time and clarity. And even though wasn't necessarily, I feel like spiritually I was ready to take a pause.
Right.
But you know, other things might not line up, you know, I don't have as much money saved as I want. I don't have my business started. So I don't feel like I'm going to be working on that. Am I going to be using my time efficiently when I have more time now that I don't have a full-time job? Those are all questions that I don't have the answers to. And I'm presently without a job and I still don't have the answers. But what I do know is that in the quiet and in the stillness of who I am and knowing who I am, I know that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that is very powerful because, you know, sometimes what happens in our lives is that when we know we need to make these decisions,
right,
because we haven't sat in the quiet and mm-hmm. understood ourselves enough to know mm-hmm. that this is the best thing for us,
right,
we are almost overwhelmed by the thoughts that I don't have a plan,
right,
and I don't know what the next step is, so I should play it safe.
Right.
And I should hold on to something that doesn't make me happy, right, because I don't know mm-hmm. how I'm going to progress mm-hmm. or proceed.
Mm-hmm.
But you have kind of taken the opposite and you're like, I'll figure it out, but I right. know that this ain't it and I need right. to make this decision because it's the best one for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been really blessed also in knowing that this is where I need to be. But also I still have fears of getting kind of complacent and not to go on a tangent, but it's
go
funny
on a tangent
because in the reason why this all started is the self-development I've been going through and like the self-love journey I've been going through. And it's crazy to me because I'm also at a point where everybody kind of outside of me that doesn't know me very well, they're the ones asking, so what's the plan?
Right. You right know? Yeah, they're the ones like, that are like they're right. worried for you. Yeah, yeah.
And I have family members and I have distant friends and I have all these people like, so what's the plan? So what's the plan? Uh-huh. So do you have a plan?
Right.
And I'm like, it's crazy that the safe space that I've built for myself through my friends and through people who are very close to me, they're the ones who never ask me that. Mm-hmm. Not one person that is very close to me was in my DM saying, what's the plan? They were all like, congratulations. Like, I'm so happy you yes. made this step.
Yeah.
Finally, they were like, girl, I thought you were going to do this a while ago.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, celebration.
So that has been really beautiful as well. It's just knowing that I have a tribe that stands behind me and they're so not concerned
right.
about if I'm going to be successful or what the next step is because they just know me and know my character and know I'm going to be fine. So
and
that's really nice too.
Yeah, that's like the most important thing. It's like, you know, whatever decision that you make in your life, mm-hmm. the people that know you the most mm-hmm. know that it's the best decision for you,
right,
regardless of, you know, if it's not something that they would do, it doesn't matter.
Right,
but they
exactly.
know you enough
right.
to know mm-hmm. that you're going to do what you need to do. And mm-hmm. it's going to be the best and most favorable outcome for mm-hmm. yourself.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's been really beautiful.
Yeah.
I've gotten really close to people even in the last 3 months that
yeah.
were just definitely needed. I needed for this journey as well. So it's been, I'm really happy. And I'd say if there's anyone else that's looking to do that, you don't have to be like me, please. Like if you can plan a little bit more, please plan a little bit more. Do
yeah.
what you need to make yourself, I don't want to say comfortable, but comfortable enough that you'd, or at least have a support system where you, when you feel like you're ready to jump and fly, people are like rooting you
right.
on to jump and fly as well.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about how you got, let's just refresh because mm-hmm. you mentioned the self-development journey.
Mm-hmm.
So let's reference a little bit of the literature or the things that you've seen mm-hmm. or your habits that have led you to be more self-aware.
Yeah. I think, again, listening to podcasts, I listen
yeah.
to this podcast that's called The Quote of the Day Show. And it just, it's just it has different speakers every day that's telling you some kind of motivational post or motivational quotes or whatever. I think that was very helpful. I think what's been how can I put this? I feel like you have to be ready, though.
Yes.
Like, you have to be ready for messages at a certain time for them to make any sense for you. And I feel like I've been just gaining a lot of messages that were so timely and that were preparing me to go and, like, go on to have this next step. And it's not only the messages that I've been consuming, because I've been making sure that the messages that I've had in my life are super positive, but again, having those positive people, and again, making sure I'm doing the work I need to do on myself in those quiet spaces, in meditation and working out and eating healthy, to make sure that this transition is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And just something I want to touch on too, it's crazy because you can't really let with a transition I'm going through, you can't let outside influences let you question what you already know to be true,
right,
with yourself and in your head, because it's very easily, I actually found myself yesterday, so many people still hitting me with the what's your plan, and
right
as a person who is looking for success in the future, and I already believe I have success and wealth for myself. That's all you really need to know sometimes.
That's it. Yes, you know? Exactly.
You don't have to have it all figured out. And also, in spiritual journeys, I feel like you don't always have to rely on the physical. You don't have to rely on what you have right now. It's seeing something for yourself in the future and manifesting that for yourself. And even though the outside of my world looks not where I want to be, I just know it for myself and in my heart that I have it. So other people's opinions need to just be able to slide off as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to be aware of the people that are trying to really just project onto you what they're feeling. Because that's a really, like, that's a really, I don't know, that's something that we just do when we're not, like, subconsciously. Like, we're not really aware of our projections that we try to place on others. So that what's next question, I actually read an article before I got here about how that can cause a lot of anxiety or worry in the person that you're asking.
Right.
And it's really unkind to do
absolutely.
To evoke those feelings, especially during such a transitionary moment in someone's life, you know? So do you read, did you read Think and Grow Rich? I noticed that you have it.
Yes, I did read it.
Yeah, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. It's a really good book. Yeah.
It's a really good book. And I feel like books like that open your eyes to the possibilities of your potential.
Yeah.
It's
really interesting that that book was made in the early 1930s. Yeah, and right after the Americans, 1937, right after the Great Depression. It's really interesting. I talked a little bit about that book because I read it too. And one of the most interesting things for me in that book was the only example of a black woman being successful is in the, in like the preface when the little slave asked the slave owner for money.
Like, she's like, you're going to give me that money.
Yeah, you're going to give me. And she's like very persistent. And the rest of the book doesn't mention any black woman or black people that were successful.
Yeah.
But that was enough for me to be inspired and motivated and, you know, take in this idea of persistence.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
And that is this idea of persistence. Persistence on its own is really, really all you need.
That's
so
it.
Again, as I'm saying, the physical world might not look like the way I want it to, but like, I'm persistent in my thought, and I'm persistent.
Yes.
I'm persistent in who I am, and I'm persistent in just like my self-love and my journey and knowing. And when you're persistent in those things and self-development, and you're also not afraid to do some hard work, I feel like you can do whatever you want. So the book is really is a testament to that. And the fact that they figured it out so early. I'm like, the 1930s.
Right after the Great Depression.
Right. And we're talking about also, it talks about sexual liberation as well. And how that you need to be, you really need to free yourself on every level
every
to be
level,
able
yeah.
to achieve great wealth and great success. So yeah, it's crazy.
And you know what's funny about that book? It's like 1937 after the Great Depression, it's 2019, book's still applicable.
Right.
Like, what has changed?
Right.
And what I'm experiencing in any literature that I read, when it's like a historic context, whatever, is that there aren't any changes.
No,
To its
no, yeah.
core, we're still on the very same path. These transitions, these things that we go through in life, doesn't matter what time period it is, it's
No,
part of
yeah.
just the human experience. At
Absolutely. Yeah.
any stage, in any
Yeah.
year, it's still part of the very human experience.
Yeah, it's funny because I love the part of the book that essentially also says find your tribe. It's like
Yes.
find people who are on this journey as well.
Yes.
Keep the your circle small, essentially
Yeah,
is what
keep
he
your circles
said.
small. Napoleon Hill before his
And he
time.
said that once you have that, you're really like you can't be stopped. Once you believe in yourself and you have a tribe that believes in you, there's nothing that you can't do. The interesting part about my journey I'm finding is that to create a safe space for yourself and within your friends and family, and again, that tribe that didn't ask me what the plan was, it's so comforting to be around people like that. It's super comfy. Like it's just like they care for you. They know who you are. They know you're going to be successful. And it's funny because that's my safe space and that's where I feel comfortable. And those are the people I want to be around at all times. But you can't get too comfy in that space as well, especially being where I'm at, where I know I need to be looking for something different. But again, the beautiful part of choosing your tribe correctly is those are the people that also want to push you back out of your comfort zone.
That's right.
You know? So I so like my close friends to mine of mine are like, "How can I help you work on your resume? What do you really like to do?" They're the ones asking the really important questions. So it's like it's not what the plan, it's like let's build a plan together. And those are key people you need in your life if you're looking to commit to any kind of change, to be honest. Yeah.
So how do you go about finding this tribe of people? Was it very natural or?
Yeah. I feel like we all have, in the book also it talks about your subconscious and it talks about you manifest things that are in your subconscious that you don't even know about. And I feel like I've been manifesting good friends. Really and truly, I remember there was one point in my life where I was in a really, like, my friends were not the best friends. They were not very good to me. They were not very open. They didn't make me feel like I was being seen or heard. And I remember I went through a point where I had no friends because I decided to myself, I would rather have no friends.
Yeah, than to have really bad ones.
Like,
And
right,
that's
I would
fair.
really rather have zero friends than to have friends that are just here serving God knows what purpose. So and I feel like since then, and it's been a few years coming, I definitely again say in the last 3 months I've met people like you. I've met I've moved in with an amazing roommate, and I've just met so many people that were kind of like they again were I've curated this group of friends that I needed, but again that took time. Like it
Yeah, it does
wasn't
take
just a
time.
thing that this has been like a few years in the making. So and again just quickly too, it's on the self-development side, you realize that very quickly who aren't your friends
Oh,
and the things
wow,
you
yeah.
will tolerate and the things you won't tolerate and the boundaries that you set for people, but also keeping in mind who those true people are
Right.
and who are going to support you.
Do you find that with this tribe of friends that you have to do a lot of, because you have to be like vocal about the support and what you need from them, right? Do you find it difficult to tell them what it is that you need or?
To be honest, I don't tell my friends much. Like, I tell them everything about my life, but how to interact with me. I feel like all my friends are very emotionally intelligent. So they don't know, they don't, there's no, oh, I don't know what to say here, I don't know what to say there. They're all very like we flow
That's
very naturally.
amazing.
No, really.
That's amazing.
Even when I'm feeling sad or like something it'll happen, they'll come into the room and they'll be like, "Oh." And
Oh.
you know, like sometimes that's all you really need. You don't need a friend that's gonna like overburden you with oversharing or over trying to schedule or plan. Like, really, I found my tribe because like everything just happens when it needs to, and the communication is not, again, on a physical level. It's really mostly like the way we're emotionally interacting with each other and spiritually interacting with each other. It's never a burden. My friends are never a burden to me. I'd like to think I'm not a burden to them.
You ain't no burden to me. No, you ain't no burden.
So yeah,
that's really beautiful. Nice. Yeah. I love that. And you know what? It's like, congratulations. I want to say congratulations to you on this journey, because I really do think I was in a similar place, and this is where a lot of creativity and growth and just incredible things start to happen.
I agree.
Especially when that, I mean, I think that's the beautiful part is when, like, you don't have a plan.
Right.
Like, there's this old adage or the saying that goes, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plan.
Right.
Because it's not up to us. Right. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we are not driving. I like to explain that we are not driving the car. We are being, like, it's a Tesla.
Right.
And the Tesla is a self-driving car.
Right.
And we are along for the ride. But it's when we try to grab the wheel and deviate from what the GPS is saying that we find the most trouble. And it's really a lesson to just sit and try to be led. Let go of the control that the illusion that you have control in the first place.
Exactly.
When you let go of that illusion.
Yeah.
And you
don't have control in the first place.
You don't have control in the first place. And we like to think that we do.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
It's crazy because it feels like that, and when you understand that, and I've understood that for myself, it makes it a lot easier to bet on myself.
Yes.
It just, like, that's what it was. Quitting my job was like, I'm gonna bet on me this time. I don't have a plan, but I still bet on me. I have no idea. My horse might be broken down. My horse, but
it'll
my
get
horse
you there.
Right.
It's a loyal horse.
Right.
That horse will get
so
you there.
So I feel
no
like
what.
I feel super, super blessed to be in this position. And it's really empowering to bet on yourself as well.
Yes.
Because everybody else is concerned about what should be and what shouldn't be, and I'm just like really I just leave the worry for other people, because one of my favorite quotes is you've survived 100% of the bad days you've had.
That's right.
Like, every single day, every bad day that you've had, you've survived. So for me, it was like more of my bad days were in places that I did not want to be. And so I was like, I first of all want to have good days. I want to bet on myself. And even if I have, like, even if I, this is not the right step with for me, even though I don't think that's the case at all, I still feel like a creator of my own destiny in a way. And it's like more of that. And I think that's pretty beautiful.
And it is beautiful.
Again, I just want to acknowledge that we're extremely privileged as me as a Canadian to be able to have food on my plate and
that's
to
true, yeah.
have an apartment and to have enough behind me that I can just quit my job. And I know there's a lot of people that aren't in the same place.
Right.
And it's not to say that you need to quit your job, but I definitely say to people, bet on yourself.
Bet on yourself.
Bet
whatever
on yourself,
way that looks like.
Right.
Right? Because sometimes, your circumstances, you are in a privileged position to where you can make that decision. But even when it seems like you're not, you can also be in
there's small ways you can always bet on yourself.
It doesn't have to be something like, you know, quitting your job. It could be something very small, but also is, you know, betting on yourself.
I agree. And I find a lot of that in relationships. Like, you don't have to succumb to anybody else's energy or anything like that. Like, know who you are and then bet that you're going to make the right decision. To handle that situation, and then you feel like you have a little bit more control to do the things that you want.
And a lot of that stems from this idea of trusting yourself and what we're, of course, like what we talk about is like this whole process of getting to that point where you trust yourself, right? And you develop that relationship enough to trust yourself and make these decisions for your life so that when people do from the outside come in and are you're faced with that worry or you're faced with that you did the wrong choice, you have to know that you can defend yourself for the decisions that you make in life also.
Absolutely.
Right?
And that's actually one of the, so in my reflection time, I wrote 10 things that I stand for. And I use these 10 things, these 10 values that are very close to me to almost act as my 10 commandments. Yeah. Like that's what they are.
Wow.
And two of them, one of them is to be assertive. And the one of the other ones is to be accountable for the things I do. Mm-hmm. So it's like if I'm accountable and I hold myself to that standard, and I'm assertive and I hold myself to that standard, nobody can really sway you away from your own values that you have for yourself.
Right.
You know. And so even when you feel like you've made a poor decision, you're still being able to hold on to that accountability and be like, you know what, I could have done that a little better, but that's the beautiful part of growing into your own as well. You're going to have to start blaming yourself for something.
Yeah, taking responsibility right. for mm-hmm. that, and just really being honest with mm-hmm. yourself as well.
Yeah.
And coming to terms with the fact that, you know, some of the things or some of the ways that you are, there's nobody else responsible for mm-hmm. that but you.
Right.
That and is not easy. That's not an easy pill to swallow.
It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not. And I think that's why some people kind of hesitate on taking risks on themselves too.
Yes.
Because then at that point, you're like, I have no one else to blame but myself.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'd still bet on myself 100 mm-hmm. times.
Still, time and you time know? Again.
Yeah.
I almost feel like in society, we're almost taught to the responsibility for your health is on somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like it's easy mm-hmm. to blame the food industry mm-hmm. for your obesity. It's easy
right.
to blame, you know, mm-hmm. whatever for your whatever. And
your
it,
parents for your genes.
Yes,
even.
Your parents, yeah, right. Like it's easy to just blame someone else right. for your behaviors, like right, like,
all of your behaviors.
Yeah. And yeah. if you can't blame somebody, you'll find that somebody right. or something to blame,
mm-hmm.
and it's never your fault.
Right.
So society tells us to mm-hmm. to rely on right. other things mm-hmm. and not rely on us.
Yeah.
And that's why we find ourselves in such mm-hmm. like really bad situations
right.
because we haven't been taught
right.
to hold ourselves accountable.
And that's something I've learned in the last couple weeks, actually, is last couple weeks. It's definitely been a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
But I've taken the initiative drastically now to be like, I'll blame myself first.
Yeah.
I don't care.
It's on me.
Right.
It's on me, baby.
there was, right. We were watching a show and it was, the woman was saying, oh, my husband might have too much pride not to beg, but I don't. I thought that was so funny. And I thought to myself, that's also so beautiful. Like, I don't ever want to have so much pride to not be able to apologize, to not be able
right.
to do something better, to say, oh, I'm sorry, I effed up. I just, like, I want to throw that part of my ego completely out of
yes.
the window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And recognize, and you mentioned this idea about the ego. I think that the ego is just really interesting because mm-hmm. it's like we exist as, I almost feel like the way that I understand it is multiple people within ourselves
mm-hmm.
and we can almost like talk to ourselves mm-hmm. and it's a different part of us, and I think mm-hmm. that the self and the ego are two different things.
They are, but they're the same thing.
But it's the same thing mm-hmm. but we can like talk to the ego and recognize mm-hmm. the ego, but we
mm-hmm.
like it's all
yeah.
encapsulated. It's just a really like interesting
yeah.
dynamic.
Yeah,
but it's us to us, like that, those memes, like me to me,
right?
Yeah. Like
no, really
ego.
Yeah. Yeah, your ego's like ego in general is a crazy, crazy thing
yeah.
because your ego is, it's the one that's full of pride. Your ego wants to blame everybody else.
Yeah.
Your ego wants to find the problem within the situation.
Yep.
Your ego is just always that trash talker.
Yeah. And the ego really. Wants to just always be in the forefront,
right?
Like the ego wants
right.
to be. We talk about this idea mm-hmm. of being present
mm-hmm.
and when you're present, that makes all the difference. The ego wants to
right.
be the only thing that
and
is
to
present.
Be truly present, you need to be able to truly move your ego aside.
Yeah,
like recognize you have to be able ego. To move your ego all the way to the back.
Yeah.
And I feel like the first part of being able to do that is being able to recognize you have an ego in the first place.
In the first place, yeah, yeah.
And being able to also recognize you are not your ego, that you're that so much really greater than your ego. Yeah. And the easiest way to do that is through meditation and spirituality, because you're able to be still with yourself that is outside of the ego's reach.
Yeah. And that's really interesting. You know about Eckhart Tolle, right?
Yes.
He's that boy.
Yeah, so, he knows so what's good.
He knows what's up. So he talks about in his book, I think it's called The Awakening.
Yes.
Where he talks about his kind of breakthrough and the reason why he is who he is and why all the work that he does with the ego and and the pain body. He talks about a lot.
Yeah. The pain body is really interesting.
Body is really interesting.
Yeah. If you guys haven't read those books, you should definitely.
The Awakening by Eckhart Tolle. And I think he has another one, something Earth. About... Yeah, A New Earth.
Yeah, I have that one.
Yeah, good books. So he talks about his story, and the story is basically how he came to be. He was so stuck in his pain body that he was going to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. And he remembers something that he told himself when he was about to attempt suicide. He said, "I can't live with myself anymore."
Right.
And when he said, "I can't live with myself anymore," he identified away from the ego.
Right.
I can't live with myself. Right. So he separated self with ego. Mm-hmm. So then he realized, oh, if you can't live with yourself, then get rid of your ego.
Right.
Because that's who I is talking to.
Right.
Your I is talking to your ego at that point. You're not talking about you.
Right.
You're talking about the ego. Mm-hmm. So then insert all the work that he's done now with the
and
ego.
And he's self-actualized.
Yeah.
And he's just floating on the cloud.
Yes. And that's what his process was. Yeah. He came to this conclusion that he is going to separate himself with the person that he cannot, or the thing that he cannot live with.
Right.
That was causing all the pain in his life.
And I think that's the, not to go too deeply into it, but I think that's what the problem a lot of people have. It's like, and something that Eckhart also talks about is your ego is still a part of yourself.
Yeah, it
like
is.
You cannot get rid of it. You cannot destroy it.
Right.
You cannot. But the ego is also very problematic.
He
talks about the ego actually as being the original sin. Like it's the part of you that wants to always find problems. And it's beautiful when you start putting your ego aside how much you can love yourself and how much you can love others. I feel like that's when you really start developing yourself, like your true self, which is crazy
when you learn because, how to identify
because we all identify with our ego so closely when you recognize there's a part of yourself that's not your ego.
You're untapped, like what I thought this was me my whole life, and it's
and
not,
it's not.
And then Eckhart Tolle also says that when you can identify it, like say you do something and you're like, ooh, that's a little egotistical, or that was my ego talking. When you can recognize it as such, then it's not really your ego. Like you're not in your ego because you can identify
it. Just like being conscious of these things is all you really need to know to grow from those things.
Right.
Because we've all been around people that they don't even recognize what they're doing, or even if they do, they just like again throw their heads up in the clouds within their ego and like, I'm not the problem here, it's somebody else's problem.
Yes.
And that's still your ego talking.
do you find that when you talk to people, like you can recognize if it's their authentic selves or their egos talking for them?
I don't think I think that's the part about being human. I don't think you'll always be able to recognize, but I do feel like I can recognize more clearly people.
I seriously, like, I have the gift of discernment, I feel like. It's like the ability to see through and not in a way that's like, oh, you're just judgmental.
Right.
It's literally like I can feel and see who you are truly.
Yes. Yeah. I think maybe I'd like to think I can see through people's egos most of the time, but what I absolutely can say I can do is knowing when somebody is operating out of love. And love doesn't have to be that deep. Like it doesn't have to, it's just like if it's like genuine kindness, if they're operating out of joy, if they're operating like when they're doing things from that place, I can discern that.
Yeah.
Because you can tell when a person's being malicious even when they don't want to let you know that they're being malicious.
Or when they're masking it in something else.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I feel like the things that are born out of love and out of joy and out of kindness, those are the things I try to align myself with. And that's when I say, like, the friends that I have around me, I don't have to worry about if we're on the wrong page. And it's life. It happens sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't have to worry about it truly, because I know exactly. These are people that operate out of love first anyways. So it just makes things a lot easier. But it's easier said than done. Also. So, yeah.
That is like, oh my God. I've never really looked at it from that perspective before. Yeah, especially with like family members when I do get into these situations where it's like, you said something that was really weird. But it's almost like sometimes, I would say like growing up, it's always like, oh, but that person means well. Mm. Is that kind of, and how do we stop ourselves from like, no, if you meant well, you wouldn't have said that. Or, right. You know, so how do we like maneuver around those people that
that's
mean well
when
but
you
do...
know that the ego is speaking to be honest. If it makes you feel any type of way, to be honest, that's not good. You can almost bet that they're speaking out of their ego, because things can make you feel neutral. You can be like, eh, and you know, you go on. But when things really stir you, and it stirs you in a negative way, it's almost mostly out of that person's ego. And again, being able to recognize your ego, I always say check yourself first, second, and three times before you try to check anybody else.
Right.
Because when somebody else's ego attacks you, your ego now is like, okay.
Yes, ego fight. Like, ego to ego. Like,
right,
okay.
Right, you want a problem.
Right.
And it's really being able to, like, take your ego, step it back, say that didn't make me feel very good, that didn't wasn't helpful, wasn't anything, and then being able to either let go of that situation, which most of the times you do have to let go, and also if it's a person you have to see again, set boundaries.
Right.
Like, boundaries are beautiful, people.
Boundaries are awesome.
I feel like people don't really understand how beautiful boundaries
are.
Oh
my gosh.
Because I am also a firm believer, you have to, especially when you're starting to walk in who you are and you're starting to discover this self-love, you have to let people treat you some type of way. Like, you really have to agree, and it's in the same in the Bible, it says like you have to say yes to the devil, like the devil can't outright fool you.
Wow.
Like, he can play little games, and even when he was on the mount with Jesus, but Jesus, look at all this stuff, and just be like, oh fam, I'm good. It's like the same thing, you have to agree to let people treat you a certain way.
Right.
And again, people don't recognize that because they don't want to be accountable for anything.
Right,
they want
right.
to say, oh, this happened to me, I was a bystander in this. You're not a bystander.
No, you're not.
So I think that's where boundaries come in, and you can really say, I don't like being treated like this, so I'm just gonna make a box around you. And also, I've been really blessed with my friends, again, your tribe. Once you do find that tribe, you don't really have to have boundaries with them, because you know that they will never compromise parts of you that is gonna make you, you know, do anything too crazy.
Exactly.
Those people are people who know you and they love and respect you first.
Yeah.
So really, you don't have to have a whole bunch of boundaries around them. Mm-hmm. It's the people that try you, and it's the people who almost like to poke at your ego to get a reaction out of you.
Oh my
that
gosh.
You have to set boundaries. And people meaning well doesn't mean they are well.
Yes.
That's,
boom.
That's all
just
it
like
is.
The fact that the ego lives inside of all of us.
Right.
Doesn't mean that, you know, okay, you mean well, but you're leading with your ego.
Right.
Like, so, okay, everybody can mean well because there's a duality that lives within us.
Mm-hmm.
So sure, you mean well, but you're not well.
But right. No, I've had, especially in the, oh my goodness, I could tell you some stories of boundaries I've had to set for people, because people are, people don't know themselves, and people can only meet you as deeply as they've met themselves.
Wow.
And I feel like that's why
that's a word.
No, it really
that's a word.
It's really true.
Yeah.
And someone can only love you, even they can be the most loving person, they can put out all this love and joy, but again, they can only put out as deeply as they've carved themselves or have been carved. So it's like it could be love, but it could be, you're just like, where's the source of this love?
Exactly.
It's kind of scanty,
yes.
But I think the main thing there, I don't like to focus too much on what other people are doing, to be honest. Like,
Right.
it's not because people are just going to do what they do. But what I do want to say for you is that, like, we all have to be very kind to ourselves.
Right.
We always want to be the ones that, like, I should have picked up on that he was a horrible person on day one. We don't know. No. We're still human.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not going to, like, it's not right, perfect, right?
Right. We're not perfect. We won't know. Sometimes there's people who are really, truly fooling themselves so they can
Absolutely.
Fool you too.
Yeah.
And all you can do is when you recognize things, those things, to back out of them.
So that's the moment mm-hmm. that I wanted to emphasize on. Mm-hmm. So sure, he presented as one thing and right. he turned out to be another way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that moment where now I get to decide mm-hmm. whether or not if that's because I love myself.
Right.
Because I've done all this right. work for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to at this moment
right.
decide to entertain him and
right.
continue?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to say this does not work for me mm-hmm. and I would never do that
right.
to myself
right.
to get into a situation with this person
mm-hmm.
that's not favorable to the person that I'm trying mm-hmm. to become or
Absolutely.
Who I want to be.
Yeah.
So then you have to decide, total cold turkey cut off,
mm-hmm.
done. Can't
and
do
it
to you.
And it doesn't always have to be a cold turkey cut off, because for me, in the situation I was in, I don't want to get too deeply in it, but sometimes there's people you have to see every day.
Well, yeah, well, that, yeah. I had literally
that
nothing
are, that
other
are
than,
negative.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the boundaries come in, because
boundaries
you can still
yeah.
put your, become real present, put your ego all the way to the side, say, this person makes me feel X, Y, and Z, but it's because they're operating from their ego, and all you can do is control the way you're going to handle that situation.
Right.
Well. And that's something I had to learn, and
yeah.
that's also a reason I'm in the position I'm in now, because I just recognize that there's things that I didn't want to have to deal with
mm-hmm.
and I could still leave in love. Like
that's right.
That's
yeah.
all that matters.
Yeah.
Like I can still, and for me, kind of I'm a visual person. So kind of like this vision I have for myself and kind of my journey in life is like, we have two hands
mm-hmm.
and in my left hand I'm kind of like, it's almost like putty, like it's almost mm-hmm. like a loose like ball of what your ego is.
Yeah.
Like you have to be so gentle with it. You don't want to like squish it because it'll just explode everywhere, but you want to hold it firmly enough that you are you're still in control of it. Like that's what your ego is. You have to be very almost playful with it. You have to not take it too seriously, because then you're going to be too hard on yourself.
Mm.
And with your left hand, you're just leading with your life. So with your left hand, that's the one you reach out to people. That's the one you're like you're pushing the doors open with. Those are that's the hand that you're gently touching all your other relationships.
Mm.
And you know, something can sting your hand or it can shock your hand and you're like, that didn't feel good, but it's always reopening your hand and keeping your palm out and being open to those relationships
mm.
while in your other hand juggling your ego.
Mm.
I feel like that's what life is about. It's like
yeah.
you have to, that's it. Like it's hard, and also positivity is not something that is easy to do.
Yeah.
Doing these things is not easy, but it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, a word.
Right.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, no worries.
For talking to the Queen Series podcast and sharing part two of your story.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling Shakur that she's got a fan base, girl. Because like your first episode was one of our most listened to episodes of the podcast. It's really
glad.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask if you wanted to promote anything, yourself, whatever.
Yeah. I don't really have anything to promote. You guys know my Instagram is Shakur C. I'm just like a regular girl that's chilling. That's
yeah.
also like,
well, they love you,
journey.
So they're gonna follow you.
but I also, what I do want to say is I want people to really realize that they have a spiritual part to themselves.
Yeah.
I want people to start tapping into who they are outside of their ego. And so if you take nothing else from this podcast, yeah, you can follow me. Please follow Queen Series.
That's
please
right.
Follow everyone. Okay. But I want you to follow your spirit also. Like
follow
really,
that spirit.
Right, like realize who you are. Don't let grow and
yeah.
Be curious and be passionate. passionate and be headstrong and be accountable for your actions. But definitely, like, I would love, especially Black women, to start coming out in who they truly are and being confident in who you are and taking risks.
And if you like this episode, please rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Also, check out our blog at www.readthequeenseries.com. And I want to leave you with this. Queens run the world.
I free all my sons. I love them, baby.